This is a Sports Fusion podcast production. SF is a comprehensive sports show that is built for the regular everyday fan. I focus on the NFL, NBA, MLB, and throw in some NHL. My NFL fantasy football tips are on point. Predictions, tips, picks, and barbershop banter. I am Jay Rich, and this is Sports Fusion. The war for the cup starts now, and the Western Conference regular season makes one wonder who will bow. The Leafs get another first-round nightmare with the fate of the series in Toronto's Nets and what it can bear. NHL playoffs ready to go right here next on Sports Fusion. Let's go. At one point in the preseason, 7 out of the 8 playoff teams in the Western Conference had been considered a Stanley Cup threat. Dallas since the beginning of the year, Vegas since the beginning of the year because they're defending champs, and they went ahead and grabbed 3 assets at the deadline. Colorado, well, just because they're Colorado. The Jets' second half makes you wonder, can anybody get past that defense and that goalie? The Canucks' second half says they are elite, and the Oilers have Draisaitl and McDavid. At the beginning of the year, the Kings had Dubois and what his potential could cash out to be by the end of the season. The only team that wasn't put on that list was Nashville, but then as the season evolved, they have the best young goalie in the league, maybe. And they also have 6 forwards right around the 20-goal mark. This year's Western Conference is just wild. The playoffs get started now. Who survives while Titans collide? Let's go. Where I'm located says Red Wings and Leafs. And so we're going to look at the first series here with the Leafs, who try to get revenge from 2013. I'm not one to really look back at history because rosters change, coaches change, and really the game is just not about revenge. We don't cover sports here at Sports Fusion like it's wrestling, because that's just really not what happens or unfolds on the ice. What does happen is matchups, injuries, goaltending, and skill level. And so essentially, the Bruins and Toronto will get after it here. The Toronto Maple Leafs power play is 7th in the league, and they have a 20% rate of scoring. And the penalty kill is 9th for Boston, so no real advantage there. The power play for the Bruins has been real good, but essentially the kill for Toronto hasn't. So there's advantage Boston right there, big time. The goaltending scenario in both teams is a total mess, which is weird going into the playoffs. Ullmark is definitely not him. Swayman's been kind of going back and forth. And Samsonov has been good for short stretches. And Wall had a pretty good appearance in the playoffs last year. So who evolves and how many goalies we actually go through, which is really strange for the NHL playoffs, will probably decide the fate of this series. Now, without a doubt, you kind of put Bertuzzi up there with Matthews and Marner, and you have maybe the most explosive offense in the league. But let's face it, Marner's had his problems in the playoffs before, and he's not really a pure finisher. His points per game in the playoffs are non-impressive, but sometimes it takes guys a few years to kind of get their time. So maybe it's Marner's time. Pasternak, Cole, and Marchand aren't your typical first line, as Marchand has aged, and their second line is really not there with Heinen, DeBrusk, and Zacha. Now, the second line for the Leafs is Tavares, Nylander, and Nyes, or anybody else who can step up there. Maybe Domi plays a little wing. So I feel that the Leafs have a slight advantage there. And the reason why I'm talking about top six is because I've always said that top six and top four defense core, like Vegas proved last year, is the key to winning now in the playoffs as the paradigm shifts. McAvoy, Lindholm, Shattenkirk, and Carlo are the top four for Boston. Lindholm's a real nice offensive gain from Anaheim, and Shattenkirk had some good seasons, and he's old from Anaheim as well. So essentially, Boston has a back end that says we are the Ducks. And with all that, Riley, Brody, McCabe, Lilligren, and Giordano are no spring chickens either. But essentially, I like their mix a little bit on the defensive core as well. So as long as Samsonov or Wall could get them stops, I feel that there's a slight advantage from the blue line in. Statistics don't say that. Essentially, the Toronto team has had a hard time keeping the puck out of the net while scoring at an elite level, and the Bruins are kind of dead opposite. So it's going to be a who can get their pace in this series. Toronto's goals against was 10th worst in the league, but ranked second on offense. And the Bruins are fifth against when it comes to goals. And essentially, as you could hear from the lineups I kind of pointed out there, they don't have a ton of offense now that a couple guys had retired last year. With that, Toronto's been pretty good on the road, and they're going to have to go prove it with a 24-11-6. I think that this series is going seven. I feel that the snake-bitten Leafs are probably in their own head when it comes to this series, and that could really hurt them as well. But I feel Boston has kind of been snake-bitten for the last few years as well. I feel that regular season hockey and basically their first-round exit last year proves that when it comes to Boston. And they really don't have a back end or a goaltender. With the success on the road from the Leafs, I get the Leafs winning this one in seven.
Let's go.
Speaking of trying to get over the hump and get out of the first or second round, the Oilers and the Kings are a real interesting series. Who would have thought that Talbot and Skinner would be the guys in the nets for the respective teams there? Once again, kind of like Boston and Toronto, kind of offense working against defense, a defense working against offense. Obviously, with Draisaitl and McDavid, you have two of the most lethal offensive tools on earth playing on the same line and on the same power play. Now, that's going to go against the third-ranked penalty kill net percentage in the Kings at 88.9%. And essentially, that's kind of weird. You think about the Kings and Kopitar and Kempe and Fiala they picked up, and then they went ahead and picked up Dubois, but it's really not their offense at all. And then they had a breakout from Byfield, and of course they have one of the best defensive centers in Deneau that could probably try to stay with McDavid and slow him down. But not a heavy scoring team, even though some of those names in LA would say that that would be the case. Doughty's obviously on the other side of 30. Roy, Gerikov, and Anderson finishes out that defense core. But I think Talbot had a nice regular season. I just don't feel he's him. Bouchard really evolved over there for the Oilers, the former OHLer. Ekholm, Nurse is obviously world class, and CeCe coming over from the Maple Leafs a couple years ago in free agency has definitely been pretty solid. With all that, sometimes you have to lose before you win. I mention this all the time in all the sports. The Oilers have felt some pain. I feel Skinner can get it done for the Oilers, and I think the Oilers are going to win this one in six. The best player in the league is not McDavid. The best player in the league is not McKinnon. And the best player in the league is not Matthews. Kucherov is the best offensive player in the NHL, and he's done it over a long timeline now. Obviously, you know, I feel that an offensive guy through neutral ice, one, gives you a very important analytic on your side, and that's puck possession, because he breaks the zone and creates odd man rushes. Nobody in the league does that better than Kucherov. And with that, essentially, you create a better power play because you're creating odd man rushes, and then you gain the zone with possession, and that creates more time with the puck in the offensive zone with an odd man 5-on-4 or 4-on-3. Now, essentially, they're going against a Stanley Cup finalist and a very good, solid physical team in Florida. So, once again, it'll be who gets their pace. Is Florida going to knock the tar out of Tampa physically? Or is Kucherov going to be able to dance around the outside and kill him on the power play? Now, with all that, Vasilevskiy has won cups. He had a 2.90 goals against and a 90% save percentage. But Bobrovsky was maybe one of the top three goalies in the NHL playoffs last year. So once again, Florida is kind of staying pace there with Tampa when it comes to that. His goals against was 2.37, so actually better than Tampa with a goals against or a save percentage of 91.5. Kucherov, Hagel, and Point. Brandon Point went off playing with Kucherov. No surprise there. He's got a ring. Sorelli is a really good, competent second-line right winger, we'll call him, with Stamkos still enough in the tank, and Paul, who had a breakout year there for Tampa. Tkachuk, Reinhart, Barkov, and Bennett seem to be the only offense that really Florida can muster. And Tkachuk kind of had an off season this year after a real good playoff run last year. It makes you wonder if they are going to have enough offense to stick. The problem with Tampa is that Sergachev is out for the first round. That's going to really hurt them. But they really haven't had a healthy Hedman in the last 2 years of the playoffs. And the Radish and Cernak combo over there should be enough to kind of stay with the offense of Florida that really isn't that dominant when it comes right down to it. Now, Ekblad on defense is solid for Florida. Montour had a nice playoff run for them last year, and Larson is a nice offensive add on the defensive core. But really, Tampa's struggling on the road record this year is really concerning, considering they're going to have to go into Florida and at least get one of them. With Sergachev out, that could be a problem. But at the end of it, Tampa has the best offensive player in the league. Tampa has the best power play in the league. Tampa may have the best goalie of the decade, finally healthy after a couple years off. When it comes down to it, I think that those things are going to translate. I think Florida is probably one with mirrors a little bit last year in the playoffs. That physicality cannot counteract the neutral zone odd man rushes that Kucherov creates. And essentially, I think the power play is going to go off. I think Tampa is going to get a win on the road. I think the experience of Stanley Cups is going to pay off. And Tampa is going to beat Florida in six.
Let's go.
Like I said, I don't think I've ever seen better first round matchups. We got Dallas and Vegas here in the other games. I like Dallas. I picked them to go to the Stanley Cup Finals. If you remember at the beginning of my NHL coverage this year, Vegas doesn't score a lot of offense. They picked up a few guys at the deadline, which made them more of a threat, but I think Dallas goes and gets that in six. Colorado against Winnipeg, once again, offense against defense. Winnipeg's had an exciting elite year. Really good to see that, you know, it's not necessarily the home rink crowd that's done it. They just do it with talent and a nice, well-balanced defense with maybe the best goalie in the Nets. But that's going to wash out here against Colorado, who also picked up a couple assets at the deadline, and I got Colorado winning that one in six. The only team that I mentioned, and I've got to pick an upset here, the only team I didn't mention in the Western Conference was Nashville as a potential Stanley Cup champion. They're going to go against the Canucks, who I feel played over their head a little bit. They have a lot of talent over there, but I think that Hronek's a little bit overrated. Statistically, he was definitely in the top 10, like I also mentioned in one of my shows. But I feel Nashville is going to surprise a little. And really, if you talk about the top three goalies in the league, they may just have one of them over there in Nashville. I think that that's going to play out. I think that the Canucks have played way over their head this season. And my upset pick for the first round is Nashville beating the Canucks. The Capitals kind of backed into the playoffs with the Red Wings struggling down the stretch, and the Rangers were the other team that I picked to go to the Stanley Cup Finals. We're going to stick with that. I like to stick with my picks, and I got the Rangers winning that one in five. The Hurricanes picked up some offense at the break. The Islanders got hot late under Patrick Waugh, but the Hurricanes are also one of those teams that maybe have learned how to lose. I think they're a little bit more offensive this year, and they can certainly get enough to get past the Islanders this year in five. Those are my picks for the NHL playoffs first round. Because I am nestled here on the 401, just a quick note about the Red Wings. In the language in the press conference of Steve Yzerman, I heard that they may be losing Kane. It kind of felt that way. Perron as well, maybe. The Red Wings, and both those would just be, not just because of age, but because what the value of the contract is. Kane's value of his contract at a point a game at his age is going to go way up, and they just may not be able to afford him. Why? Because they're going to have to give a long-term to Sider. They're going to have to give a long-term to Raymond. And obviously, those are the new cornerstones of the franchise moving forward. They're only going to have $10 or $15 million. I think that maybe they should offer it to Kane, and he may take it. But at the end of it, there's not a lot of good matches for Kane and maybe where he would want to play as well. So four or five, maybe other teams are going to make some offers. I don't see anybody in their top six core kind of jumping into the top six from their young guys. Obviously, I feel that their defense core is set. We saw a little bit of that from Edmondson. Obviously, Sider, the Wallman injury down the stretch really killed them. And then Pelika, who's over in Sweden playing right now, is going to be a future nice top four defensive core for the Red Wings. Other guys that could step up into the league, but probably not ready to step up into the top six, is Casper, Lombardi, Danielson, and obviously Berggren over there in the minors for them, may be able to jump up into the top four. I feel that the coach should go. I feel that the decision to play your third goalie at the beginning of the year in a must-win series at the end of the season over Lions, who had kind of carried you, was a bad call, and it almost cost them, although they did get those last two wins when they needed them. It just was too late, and essentially I feel that the D-zone coverage wasn't very good, and when you don't play well on special teams, that's a system, and essentially there's enough talent over there to say, yeah, we've got a nice fourth line, a nice third line, our penalty kill should be good or better, and our power play should be not maybe elite, but very, very good as well. And that just didn't translate. It's time for a coaching change in Detroit. That's going to do it for Sports Fusion NHL style. Go to www.jrichsportsfusion.com. And that concludes our three-sport week this week. We'll talk to you soon. Enjoy the playoffs.